262. Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Story up to now. The family comes to Egypt. Yosef gives his brothers an introduction, what they should tell Pari when they meet him. Yosef brings some of the brothers, the weaker ones, to Pari, and he says they're all shepherds. They're no good for anything else. So and they want to live in the land of Goshen. So Pari says, good idea, put him in the land of Goshen. So now starts the second part. Vayava Yosef is Yaakov Aviv. Yosef brings Yaakov his father, V'yamideu lefnei Pari, and he stands him up in front of Pari. Now, what does it mean Yosef brought his father? He wanted to give him due honor and respect, so he brought him separately, with the whole, you know, respect by itself, not with the brothers. And then he says, V'yamideu lefnei Pari, he had him stand in front of Pari. Meaning, what does it mean by Yamidei Lefnei Pari? So there's two interpretations. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that he stood him up before Pari means Yosef had a special throne in Pari's chambers. And Yosef brought Yaakov and put him, you know, right before Pari, so to speak. He gave him his own seat, which was the second in command. He gave the seat to Yaakov. Other Mefarshim learn, interestingly, Vayamidehu, the Balaturim says, means that he had to help him stand. Yaakov was so old and weak. Vayamideu, it doesn't say he stood before Pari. In Hebrew, Vayamideu means he made him stand before Pari, which means he was so old and weak, Yosef had to, so to speak, help his father stand in the presence of Pari. He had to support him. So the Pasuk says, what happened? Yosef brings Yaakov, Vayamideu lefnei Pari, stands him up before Pari. Vayivarech Yaakov is Pari. Yaakov blessed Pari. And Rashi says, what was the bracha? It wasn't any special bracha at the present. He gave him a special bracha at the end. But here, basically, he gave him a greeting. Like Rashi says, when you come before kings, you give them a greeting. Basically, a respectful greeting. Okay, so that's basically what happened. Now, the Pasuk says, Vayere Pari al Yaakov. Pari says to Yaakov, Kama Yemei Shnecha Yacha, how old are you? Literally means, how many days of the years did you live? Now, obviously it's a weird question to ask somebody. You see a guy for the first time, you say, hey, how old are you? I mean, it's obviously there's a reason why Pari is asking how old Yaakov is. You don't ask a guy the first time you meet him, hey, buddy, how old are you? After you get to know the person, you're talking casually, you know, but not the first Shalom Aleichem, hey bud, how old are you? So, it seems two things. And it's so funny the way Mefarshim learn, like, extremes in the commentaries. Some Mefarshim learn that Pari saw in front of him a old, great man. And he says the expression, Yemei Shnei Chayecha. Yemei are days, Shnei are years. Okay? Basically, he's asking, how old are you? But he's saying, how many days and years do you have? So some of us should learn, what's the question? Pari is saying, you're such a great man, every single day of your life must be important. I understand, by looking at you, that it's not only the years you are, but actually the days. Like we say before in Chumash, the Pasuk says, V'Avram Zaken Baba Yomim. Avram was old coming in days. It's basically repeating itself. It's redundant. If he's old, he's coming in days. So the Zayir says, it wasn't only old. Baba Yomim means coming in days. Every day of his age was fulfilled. I mean, his life was a complete, full life. If you ask a normal person in the street, they might be 80 years old, but they only lived maybe 40 years. The other time, they were sleeping, waiting in line, doing nothing. Then by then, he'll probably live 5 years. But it's a waste of time. Here he saw that there was a man that didn't waste even one day of his life. Now, there's a few reasons of why Pari asked the question. That was the question. But why did he ask the question? So the Medrash says the following. Pari, one of Pari's advisors was Og Melech HaBoshan, the big giant that existed from the time of the flood. He was in Avram Avinu's time. So it says, Pari turned to Og when Yaakov came in front of him. Pari turned to Og and said, I understand you. You told me years ago that Avram was a sterile mule. That's what he called him. A sterile mule who can't have any children. And this guy is his grandson, who came with 70 people of a family. How could his grandfather, Abraham, be a sterile mule that can't have any children? So, Og said, it's impossible. This man must be Avram himself. This guy must be Abraham himself. So Pari asked him, how old are you? It wasn't a question just to know how old he was. He wanted to know, is he Avraham? Or is he Avram's grandson? So by asking the question, how old you are, and Yaakov answers at the present, 130, he knew right away he can't be Avram Avinu. So Pari proved Og wrong. So the Medrash says that Og tried to give an iron heart, an evil eye to Yaakov, and Hashem took it away. And not only that, Hashem said to Og, the descendants of Yaakov, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to kill you. But that's one reason why Yaakov Avinu was asked by Pari the question.
Do we know how old he lived? I mean, this guy seems to be around forever from Noah, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov.
So there is a Daskenim Mibalei HaTosfos in Chumash that asks the question, how could he be so old? And the answer, it wasn't the same guy. And Tosfos says, just like all the kings of Egypt were called Pari, all the kings of Bashan were called Og. So it wasn't the same guy, according to many commentaries. There are commentaries that say it was the same guy, and he lived very long. If you count from the flood, and he wasn't a newborn baby at the flood either, okay? 10 generations to Avraham. Then Avram, 7 generations from Avram to Moshe, and Moshe killed him. That means he lived a span at least of 17 generations.
How many years did that translate?
1,700.
No, you have to figure Cheshbon.
40 years per generation? Or
yeah, but there's more because in those days generations were more. But there is a Cheshbon. I don't have the you know what, in one of these books, in that Chumash it should say, what? No. But if you count how many years from Noach to Avraham, I'll tell you something very simple. Noach, Avraham Avinu was born in approximately the year 2000 after creation. Okay? Noach was... died 950.
Moses is 2448.
Noach was 900 years before Avraham Avinu. Noach was 900 years before Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham was Noach years... 58 years when Noach died. Noach died at 950. That means Noach was approximately 900 years older than Avram, and then 7 generations from Avram to Moshe. So he had to be 1,200 years old. No, 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak to, this is 240 years, 500 years from the birth of Avram until the Jews left Egypt. Okay? 500 years. So you're talking 1,400 years old. That's a pretty old guy. Because he was... it's a wrong cheshbon. He was around by the flood. Yeah. Og was saved from the flood. Right? No, I have to take off 400 years.
I'm sorry, what's the minimum?
1,000 years.
What's the maximum?
1,500? No, he was at least 1,000 years old. At least.
Was 1,000 years old.
No, make a simple question. The flood took place when Noach was 500 years old.
Yeah.
600. Okay? Noach died at 350. Correct? So it's 350 years. Then, 100 years of Avram's birth until Yitzchak is 450. 400 years from Yitzchak's birth until the Jews left Egypt, 850. Plus another 40 years in the desert, is 900, right? Now, Og wasn't the baby at the time of the Mabul. He was already a big guy. So you're talking at least 1,000 years old. So that's why some of Farshim learned that it wasn't the same Og. Just like all the Egyptian kings were called Pari, All the Bashan kings, Taisa says, were called Oig. That's it.
Oig survived the bubble?
Yeah. He held on to the Ark in the back. Okay. So now, the question is, the Mefarshim ask, the Ramban asks, why in the world did Pari ask the question? So one answer we just said from the Medrash, because he wanted to see if he's Avram or Yaakov. The Ramban answers a different story. Yaakov Avinu was very old. And not old year-wise, but he was 130 years old. He looked a wreck. That's his inversion. White hair.
Where does it say he
looked a wreck? Who says it? The Das Kedem Melatesis says. He saw that he was very old and his hair was very white. And he wanted to understand. So he never saw a man look so old. He said, how old are you? When he was 130, which was much younger than what he looked, so he answered the question. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim will soon explain when we get to the next pasuk, when Yaakov complained that I'm 130 years old and I have a miserable life, some Mefarshim say he was punished for saying what he said. But let's leave that for a second. So, Pari basically sees, now, there's another interpretation that the Rechaim HaKodesh says. He says the Klei Yoker says. Pari was told by his people that as soon as Yaakov came to Egypt, the famine stopped and the Nile started coming up to irrigate the fields. Okay, that's what the bracha that Yaakov gave Pari, that the Nile should come up and irrigate all the fields. So Yaakov saw that the bracha came when Yaakov came. And everybody in Egypt was happy because they realized the famine was over. Pari wanted to understand how long this blessing is going to last for. Because he understood if it's in the merit of Yaakov and Yaakov is going to die soon, there's no more bracha. Right? And we'll learn later that according to one opinion, that the hunger stopped when Yaakov came down, and when Yaakov died, the hunger started again. 5 more years. So Pari was asking Yaakov, how old are you? He just wanted to know, how long is this blessing going to last of the famine, of the hunger being over, because Yaakov came. So he says to him, how old are you? Yaakov said to Pari, by the way, just to take it a little bit deeper, in a personal level, so to speak, Pari says to Yaakov, it's a question that every person has to ask themselves, as we said before, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha, how many days do you have in your life? Like we said before, how many days did you really live? You know, how many days, Kama Yemei, how many days do you have from the years of your life? In other words, did you really live those years in a way that they were called alive, living? So Yaakov said to Pare, Yemei Shnei Megurai, the days of my travelings and my sojourns and my travels, that I was a ger, a stranger, was Shleishim Ma'ashon, 130 years. I'm 130 years old. Now, he says, the way Rashi explains, why is he using the word Megurai, which means dwelling place, but it also comes from the word ged, meaning a stranger. Yaakov basically says, you know what? I had problems my whole life. I was always traveling, I was in Lavan, and I was here, and I was there, and I really never lived in my own place. A deeper interpretation, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, and this is a phenomenal concept, and just to preface it with a famous story, they tell about the Mizritcha Magid, they tell it about the Chofetz Chaim, they tell it about another 100 people. A great rabbi will say the story about the Magid. Once came to visit a wealthy person once came to visit the Mizritcha Magid. And the Magid was a teacher of students, and he comes to his house where he's teaching the students. He's living in a dilapidated, run-down house. There was one piece of board that was used as a table. And he came to see the Magid. The Magid said to him, do me a favor, I'm teaching a class, come back later. He came back in the evening, he sees the house transformed. The board, which was used as a table, was now a bed. And there's mamish nothing in the house, empty. So the rich man couldn't hold himself in, and he says to the Magid, where's your furniture? Where's your furniture? So the Magid turns to the rich man and says, where's yours? Where's your furniture? So he says, what do you mean my furniture? I'm traveling. I don't carry my furniture with me when I travel. If you come to my home, you will see beautiful furniture. So the Magid said to him, in this world, I'm also only temporarily traveling. I don't need furniture in this house. If you come to my real home in Gan Eden, you will see my beautiful furniture. So the Bein HaBechaya says, this is what Yaakov is answering. Pari asked him, how old are you? So Yaakov says, Yemei Shnei Megurai, the years of my travels are 130. You know, as Yaakov Avinu is telling to Pari, this world can't even be counted. This is the journey of my life. This is not my real home. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Bechaya says he uses the word Megurai as ged, a stranger, because he's just a temporary righteous people. Regard themselves as transient strangers in the world. They're just living here temporarily. So, you know, they don't have to rent very expensive cars, and they don't have to, you know, because it's only temporary. That's a different approach.
Who was that, Jimmy?
Yeah. It's like the famous story. There's a famous story that there was an actress. Yeah? There was an actress that spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on a wedding. On her own wedding. So somebody said to her, why are you spending so much money on a wedding? So she said, listen, it only happens 6 or 7 times a lifetime. Why shouldn't I enjoy it?
You're giving the single ladies an idea, Rabbi.
Yeah? Well, get married 6 times? No.
They may end up doing that too.
God forbid. Okay, so he says, Ma'at v'royim, few and bad, Hoyu yimei shnei chayai, with the days of my life. In other words, you can't even call them. He said, the days that I can really call my life are few. Few and far apart. And he says, the Babinel says, even my good years were marred by evil. Like, he finally settled in the land of Canaan, away from Esav, away from Lavan. So Esav was taken away. But he said it was very few. V'lehisigun, they didn't reach. Et yimei shnei chayei avaisai. The life of my fathers, of my father and grandfather, b'mei megoreim, in the days of their life. Which means that Yitzchak lived 180, Avraham lived 175, and he was only 130, and he felt like he was dying soon. Now, the fact that the Torah tells us something is a lesson in itself. The fact that the Torah says that he lived 130 years teaches us that Yaakov Avinu went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver for 14 years. Because if you add all the years of Yaakov's life together, without this 14, it's not going to work. If you figure out how old Yaakov was and how old when this was and that was, you're missing 14 years. This is how we figure out, and then he goes into the whole cheshbon over here. Yaakov should have been 116 at this time. Yaakov was 63 years old when he received the blessing, went away 14 years with Lavan. Yosef was born plus 30 years when he became the ruler of Egypt. So Yaakov, it just makes a simple cheshbon. Yaakov was 63 when he got to Brocha and he ran away from home. He spent 14 years in Lavan's house, plus until Yosef was born. Then Yosef was 30 years old when he became the leader of Egypt. Then 7 years of plenty and 2 years of hunger. So according to that reckoning, Yaakov should be only 116. Where does he say I'm 130 from? This is the source in Torah, because there's no other mention of it in Chumash. This is the source in Torah that Yaakov missed 14 years of his life. Where does it get 14 years? He was in the yeshiva, Shem Ve'Aver, for 14 years on the way to Lavan's house.
How do we know that he was in the yeshiva?
He wasn't in movies.
Well,
where do you think he was? In the nightclubs. I mean, come on.
Even Jimmy knows that's not the answer.
Well, no, I'm serious. Obviously, he's missing years, right? Okay, so the from, because when he ran away right away, the you know where the gap is. The gap, not the story. The gap. The gap is in between Yaakov's leaving. Because one thing we know for sure, when he got to bracha, he was 63. Okay, and afterwards there's a gap because we know he was in Lavan's house 14 years, and then 30 years Yosef was born. The missing link is between Yaakov's leaving and getting to Lavan's house. That's the only unaccountable time in the history.
20 years in Lavan's house, not
14. No, but until Yosef was born was 14, and Yosef was 30 when he became a ruler. So that you can't count.
Good question,
then. Yeah.
Why would the 16 years be years of missing? Missing years?
14 years.
14 years?
Yeah. No, because it's not, according to the calculations.
I understand. Why wouldn't they count those? Those should be the good years.
No, I'm saying those years are counted, but I'm saying that the Teda doesn't mention a reckoning of those years.
And also, like, it's like Elvino, when he was 3 years missing, he was in Gan Eden.
Right.
So couldn't it be?
He wasn't in Gan Eden for that long. They don't let you stay there that long. So you have to be in the yeshiva for 14 years.
Doesn't it say that he ran straight to
Haran? Huh?
Doesn't it say that he ran straight to
Haran? No, he was on the way to Haran. Right. And therefore he stopped on the way. It doesn't say he went en route to Haran. He stopped in the yeshiva.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, according to the Medrash, when Yaakov Avinu complained that his years were bitter and bad and all that, Hashem said to him, "You're complaining?" He says, what does it say? It says as follows. Hashem said, "I saved you from Esav and Lavan. I returned Dina to you. I returned Yosef to you. And you're complaining?" He said, everything that happened ended up to be good. You know, he had misery along the way, but the end result was everything was good. And you're complaining? So Hashem said, because of that, Yitaka going to die 33 years younger. Yaakov died at 147. Yitzchak died at 180. Avraham was also supposed to die at 180. He died 5 years earlier that he shouldn't see Esav being the Rasha that he was. But basically, the obvious, Avraham and Yitzchak were supposed to live 180. Why did he live less? So the Das Kinim Balatesis has an interesting concept. If you count how many words there are in this pasuk, it's 33.
Wow.
And because of the complaining of 33 words, Tzadikim lost 33 years of his life. No, it says, one second. He says, Lamed Gimel Tevis. What, from Vayemed until you be made Megurai. Okay, it's 33 words, no?
Pharaoh's asking him to count it as well, no?
I don't know if his power is count, asking him.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Yeah, including Pharaoh's question. Now, the question is, the obvious question over here is, if you're asked a question, you're supposed to answer truthfully. Pari asked him a question, how old are you? Yaakov could have just answered 130. Okay? The fact that he complained is the cheder, for that you lose 33 years of your life. I mean, come on. No. But the Gemara says a phenomenal statement, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik b'tzadikim k'chut ha-saira. Hashem is particular with tzadikim like the width of a hair. The greater the person, the more God is particular with you. A person who wouldn't be on Yaakov Avinu's level and complains, who doesn't complain? Jews equal kvetch. Jew equals kvetch. Every Jew kvetches. And no Jew, I mean, according to this, we should lose 300, we should, the amount we kvetch, even if it goes by days, we wouldn't be born. The amount we kvetch, it wouldn't even be equal to the days we're born. So why is it, Taka, that, because Yaakov Avinu is on such a great level, for him, and even though he said the truth, he had a miserable life. He had a problem with Esav, he had a problem with Lavan, he had a problem with Jacob, he had a problem with Dina, he had a problem with, he had unlimited problems. But tzaddikim, Hashem is very particular with. The same thing you find later on in Chumash with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, spoke to the rock. It was the wrong rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe God told me to hit the rock, because I'm speaking to it and it didn't work. So Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock.
Same
and Hashem,
rock?
Huh? No, Hashem made a miracle that not to desecrate the name of God. So Hashem got the right rock in the right place and he hit it. But if you think about it, it's his fault. The Jews are complaining. He's trying to help him out. He's speaking to the rock. Nothing's happening. So once, and he knew before in Parshas Bishach, what we read last week, not this Shabbos, a week ago, Hashem told him to hit the rock. So he said to himself, maybe I'm making a mistake. It's not working. And Hashem always worked. You know, maybe now. The answer is, for Moshe Rabbeinu, he sanctified the name. Trust me, when you hit a rock and water comes out, it's the sanctification of God's name. There's no question. But he could have sanctified God's name more by speaking to the rock. No, and it didn't work. Right. So if you analyze the Medrash, what did he do already? He didn't do such a... We do worse things. He didn't do such a terrible thing. But the answer is, for Moshe Rabbeinu, on his level, of greatness, it was a very, very grave sin. What's the physical analogy of this? We learned many times. If you're wearing dirty clothing, you're painting your house, and you're wearing dirty clothing, whatever, you're doing Pesach cleaning, And you're wearing dirty clothing, and you get a little speck on it, lint, you don't notice the speck. When you're going to a wedding or a banquet and you're all dressed up, and you're putting on your best clothing, and then there's a little speck of lint, it becomes very noticeable. The cleaner the garment, the smaller the speck, is still very noticeable. A little dust on a very clean garment is more noticeable than on a dirty garment. So the Hashem judges tzaddikim on their level. The only problem is that everybody has to think in this respect that they're a tzaddik, that God should be more particular with them. There was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe that said that he didn't sin because of ego. He said he didn't sin because of ego. Why? He said to himself, I'm such a great chassid, I'm such a great person, I'm such a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, I'm going to go sin? It's below my dignity to sin. So he said his ego kept him from sinning. Usually our ego gets us to sin. But this chassid, he said, I'm so great, how can I do an aveda like that? So he didn't, it held him back from sinning. Yaakov Avinu answered the question, even though technically he was asked the question, he could have just said 130. How old are you? 130. He understood, but Yaakov Avinu understood more. He understood why Pat is asking the question. And he understood, like the Daskin Malatesa says, he saw this old man, bent, broken, white hair, you know, and he says, how old are you? Like, what do you mean? You're 1,000 years old. So Yaakov Avinu is explaining the answer to the question. He can't just answer 130 because that's not what Pharaoh is asking him. Pharaoh is asking, why do you look the way you look? So Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? As if to say, what are you, 1,000 years old? So he said, no, I'm 130. But why do I look like this? Because I had misery. So Hashem said, you complaining? I mean, he didn't do anything terrible. He's asking Pharaoh's question. And Hashem says right away, along the same line, there's a story that somebody once came into a house and he saw a young guy with a black beard screaming at an old man that looks like his father. And he's screaming, you work, you lazy, good for nothing, but you work to clean the house or whatever. So the guy sees him, the young guy screaming at his old father. He says to him, that's what you talk to your father? He says, what? I'm the father, the young guy said, and he's my son. So he says, what? How could that be? So the guy told him, the guy that looked young was Taka, the father of the old man. But he said that he used to clean the Baal Shem Tov's room, where the Baal Shem Tov stayed. And one time he came in to clean the Baal Shem Tov's room, and there was a pair of the Baal Shem Tov slippers on the floor next to the bed. And he was thinking, should I pick up the slippers to clean around it? Or if the Baal Shem Tov put the slippers there, I should leave them where they are and clean around them. So he decided he's not going to pick up the slippers, he's going to clean around them. Later the Baal Shem Tov came into the room, and he asked, said to him, did you move my slippers? He says, no, I didn't. I cleaned around them because I realized if you put them there, I didn't want to move it. So the Baal Shem Tov gave him a brach, he should live long as he is now. You should live long as you are now. So he says, I am much older than my father. than my son. But I'm the father and he's the son.
That's a good blessing.
That's a very good blessing.
How is Yaakov responsible? How is looking? Yaakov was punished of the Baroth question, isn't it? Because Yaakov was looking old and it was his fault.
Not that he was old, that he... No.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't punished because he looked old. He was punished for complaining.
Wasn't he punished because he didn't take care of himself?
That's it.
No.
You mean he go to the gym? Yeah, he didn't go to the gym.
Words counted as punishment.
Why?
You counted 33, right?
33, yeah.
Pharaoh's words as well.
Right. Because the question.
His answer.
Right. So the Eibishter counted the question too, because that's what stimulated the answer. So the question and answer are all connected.
It's not his fault. Yeah, but somebody asked him a question.
And it's not his fault that he answered it either.
No, so but his fault the way he looked. That's what I read.
Yeah, that's what I read. He looked old, and he called to ask the question. Because Yaakov take to the heart what is happening to him, and look old, and it was his fault, and this is the reason that Paro asked him.
Maybe it says somewhere, I've never seen it, that's all.
Why wasn't it 32 years? Why 33 years? Why that number?
Because it's a word.
Oh, so it coincides with this, so that's
right.
They got, it was 33 years.
There's another answer that they bring down later, that some of Farshim learned that Yaakov Avinu actually donated some years to David HaMelech. And that, we'll see at the beginning of Vayechi. Some opinions say Adam donated. Some people say Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov donated. There's a lot of reasons. We'll see that in a few months when we get there. What?
All of these donated to David's years?
David was supposed to be born dead. So one opinion says Avraham Adam Rishon donated 70. Another opinion says Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov donated. What? It better be good, because if I answer something, I don't want to die 33 years younger. Yeah?
How do we know he's even complaining? Maybe he's not complaining.
What's he doing?
Huh?
What's he doing?
He's convincing.
He's answering the question.
Right. That's what.
He's just chatting. You know, he's just getting it off his chest.
Like small
talk. He's just chatting with the guy.
Okay. The Gemara says,
I have a problem, right? And I want to get it off my chest, so I call my friend, we'll go over a cup of coffee, you chat. It's not complaining. I agree with you.
But you want me to answer your question? I'm going to answer your question, but I'm not going to complain though, so listen. The Gemara says a statement.
Right.
The idle chatter of scholars need to be learned and studied. By tzaddikim, there is no idle chatter. Listen. Last week we mentioned, I believe it was at this class, that anything mentioned in Torah, even the idle chatter seemingly of Torah, you know, Avraham Avinu lived 175 years, everything in Chumash that he could have said maybe took a month. Okay? Obviously the Torah is not telling us what he did for the other 170 years, or whatever. Why? Because it's not relevant to us. If the Torah says a statement in Chumash that Paro asked a question and Yaakov answered it, and the fact that Yaakov just didn't say 130, normally somebody asks you how old you are, you answer 130. You don't start making a speech. You know, he wasn't running for office.
Some people do.
I know. That's why the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there's what's called a Chacham,
right,
and there's a Goylem. Shoyel ke'inyin u'meishiv ka'alacha. A Chacham asks to the point and answers to the point. And he doesn't make speeches. A Goylem, a Golem, makes speeches. Now, one thing. Yaakov was asked a question by Pat, how old are you? He should have said 130. Finished. Story over. And that the Torah would teach us, because the Torah is teaching us everything, the Torah would teach us just by that statement that Yaakov went to yeshiva for 14 years. Okay? So that would be relevant in the question and answer, how old you are, 130, would teach us automatically that Yaakov Avinu went to yeshiva 130. But the Torah is adding to that, that Yaakov said another pasuk to Pari. Okay? And he started basically chattering, he's answering the question, because Pari's real question is not how old you are as Yenta. Pari wanted to know, why do you look the way you look? And basically, Yaakov Avinu was answering that question. So it's not even chatter. It's somebody asks you a question, you're supposed to answer it. Nevertheless, for a person on Yaakov Avinu's level, he should have answered it differently.
Okay, I understand that.
And on his level.
Right.
Now, when we chatter, first of all, it's taka not good. The only time it's good to get something off your chest, if something good will come of it. Just to, like we said in the previous weeks, to cry is worthless because crying doesn't rebuild.
Okay.
Kvetching doesn't do anything. The only thing kvetching does, when kids kvetch, it makes the parents angry. And they say to the kids, you kvetch one more time, the answer will be no. The answer will be no. No, they know this already. You can ask them. They know this. If they ask a question, is that kvetching? It's no, even if it was supposed to be a yes to begin with. Okay? Kvetching is not something a Jew should do. Even if they want to get, the Gemara has a pasuk, Dagis ish yasichen el achedim. If you have problems, discuss it. Because people come up with ideas, you get it off your chest. That's if there's a significant purpose in it, then it's good. But the fact that the Torah is telling it to us, you know what? There's no question that Yaakov and Pari spoke more than what the Torah says they spoke. There's no question. Because this conversation took about 10 seconds. Hi, how old are you? 130 rotten years. Have a nice day. I mean, you know, trust me, that's not what happened. I'm sure they talked something else. I'm sure Pari said to him, you know, you got a wonderful son. No? Can you imagine? You have a wonderful son. You know, look what he did. He built up the economy, and he's my foreign advisor, and he's my chief of staff. I mean, come on. There's no question that they talked more. Why doesn't the Torah say? Because it's not relevant.
Okay. I want to make a comment. You know the story with the guy...
Maybe you write him down.
You know the story...
He's giving a book.
...with the guy who was living outside Israel, and he sent the other guy to Israel. And then one guy asked him, how is it in Galut?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
He came back and said, you fool, that was...
It was about Shem Tov, yeah?
Abraham or whatever. You
yeah.
saved us. So... Over there, it's the same. It's like if he complained, it was a good thing.
Right.
But he didn't.
Right.
So it's contradictory.
They always do the wrong thing.
Huh?
No. This personal complaining is awful. Complaining about what's going on for the Jews is great.
Okay.
That's the difference. Yaakov here was complaining personally. That chassid was supposed to complain about the Jews suffering. That's good.
How many years donated Yitzhak to the
baby? I don't know, we'll see later. There's whole different opinions.
It doesn't fit 70?
It fits 70. Between the three of them. Okay. Then it says, Vayivarech Yaakov is Pari. So now Yaakov gave him another bracha. What was the bracha that he gave him? He gave him a bracha, the Medrash says, Rashi comments from the Medrash, that whenever Pari came to the Nile overflowed his banks and watered and irrigated the entire land of Canaan. And that's why the hunger stopped now, because Pari would go to the Nile and the Nile would overflow. One more point over here, that when Yaakov says that I don't come to the life of my parents, he says their life was living. They had simcha, they were able to do it, serving Hashem with joy and happiness. It was a much greater level. Okay, so now the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayeshev Yosef es aviv es echov. Yosef settled his father and his brothers. Ve'itan la'machuzah be'eretz Mitzrayim. He gave him inheritance in the land of Egypt, b'meitav ha'aretz, in the best of the land, be'eretz Ramses, in the land of Ramses. And even though it says in Chumash that they were going to live in Goshen, but Ramses was part of Goshen. Goshen was the Beverly Hills of Mitzrayim, and Ramses was the Beverly Hills of Beverly Hills. Huh? 90210, right. Kasher tziva pare, like pare commanded. Now, what does it mean, kasher tziva pare? This is an interesting thing. The Mefarshim explain, by pare commanding them to live there, it was royal decree. So then basically, the oppression and enslavement of the Jews was a criminal offense. Because Pari gave the Jews prime real estate, Pari gave the Jews prime citizenship, and all of a sudden he makes them slaves. That aggravated and made the sin of Pari enslaving the Jews much worse. And that's what the Torah is telling us.
Is that another Pari?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing, basically. This Pari, that Pari, it's all the same Pari. Huh? Bilo was alive. It does before. In the 70? It means, it doesn't say their wives either. It doesn't say the kids either. It means... Okay. V'ichalko Yosef v'saviv v'sechov. And Yosef sustained his father and his brothers, v'eskol v'saviv, and the entire household of the father. He gave them lechem lefiatof, bread according to the children. What does it mean? So Rashi says it means the individual needs of each member of the family. What does it mean? Kids waste a lot of food. This is what Rashi explains. Why does it say he gave them bread for the kids? Because kids have a tendency of wasting a lot of food. They have big eyes, you know, and they want a lot, and they end up throwing out 3/4 of the food. So it says Yosef gave them such an abundance that they didn't even have to worry about the kids wasting food, so to speak. That's the amount, the abundance of it. In Chassidus, this is a very important pasuk. In Chassidus, basically, it says over here that Yosef supported Yaakov. That means we're not only talking in a physical sense, we're talking in a spiritual sense, that Yosef was here in Egypt, even though Yaakov was the patriarch, Yaakov was the father and the Rebbe in the land of Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael. But in the land of Mitzrayim, Yosef was a much greater level than Yaakov. And therefore, Yosef was actually the spiritual support of Yaakov and the family. And that's why lechem doesn't only mean physical bread. Torah is called lechem, you know, lefiatof, in all aspects. Even to the youngest of the people, Yosef was the one that actually supported them. And therefore, the pasuk says, in Tillim, Noyeg Katsen Yosef. We led like the flock of Yosef. Yosef was the supporter of the Jews in Egypt, even the level of Yaakov Avinu, which shows the greatness, according to Chassidus, of Yosef in that sense. Now, but some of Farshim learned that, on the contrary, the opposite. One opinion is that Yosef gave him so much food that the kids could waste food without any problem. The other interpretation is, the Sipurna writes that he didn't give them. He could have, but he didn't give them a lot. Why? Because it's not right that if other people are suffering hunger, to give an abundance of food. So according to the Sipurna, you know, he gave him a limited amount of food.
So, like where it says it gave according to the children, in English it's like, he took that into account. What the children really needed.
What they really needed, and he gave them, but he didn't give them an abundance. Right. And therefore, some of Farshamon Lafiatov means based on a child's needs, which means the bare necessities. That even the adults, he gave limited quantities, like for kids, that they shouldn't have an abundance.
So they don't have to go to the gym.
They didn't have to go to the gym. And they still didn't look that old. Okay, now the next pasuk, v'lechem ein b'chol ha'aretz, there was no bread. There's a whole big argument over here amongst the commentaries. Is there a chronological order in Chumash with this, or is there an emukdum amulcha b'teira? Now, there's a lot of different opinions. Did the hunger stop when Yaakov came? Did the hunger not stop? There are many opinions that say the hunger didn't stop when Yaakov came, because the pasuk doesn't say the hunger stopped. It says over here that the hunger was stopping. This pasuk goes earlier. Like Sumo learned, it was in the second year they had no more money left. It doesn't mean the second year of the hunger. It means the second year from Yaakov's coming. But the hunger was already 5 years old. There's a lot of different opinions where this pasuk belongs. But the pasuk, let's first see what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, V'lechem ein b'chol ha'aretz. There was no bread anywhere in the land. Ki chaved arav me'ed, because the hunger was very, very strong. Vateila eretz mitzrayim v'eretz Canaan, and the land of Canaan and Egypt became weary from the hunger. And the Ramban says, why are these two countries mentioned? Because they're central to the next few psukim. Now, what happens? V'yalakadyev, we have to learn a few psukim then discuss this whole thing. V'yalakadyev, Yosef gathered. As Kol HaKesev and Nimsa Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Canaan, Yosef gathered all the money. According to one opinion, in 1 year, he gathered all the money of the entire Egypt. According to the Ramban, in 5 years, it took him to gather all the money. But there's two opinions. According to Rashi, in 1 year, Yosef gathered every piece of currency that existed in the land of Mitzrayim and the land of Canaan. Vayava Yosef, and Yosef brought as a cast of the money, base of Pari to the house of Pari. Why does it say he brought it to the house of Pari? L'chayr, he didn't bring it to the house of Pari. He brought it to the treasury. But like Dal Sheikh writes, in those days it was a dictatorship. So everything basically belonged to the king. So he brought it to the king's palace.
Especially after the famine.
Right. Another thing that the Mefarshim say, that Yosef was so honest and so loyal, that where did he bring all the money? He didn't take any kickbacks. He didn't take any money. He didn't launder any money. He brought all the money to Pari's house.
Was hunger only in Egypt or in the whole world?
No, there was a hunger in Egypt, Canaan, and the whole world. But, like the Mefarshim explained, the rest of the world was too far to come to Egypt to buy food. Or, some Mefarshim learned, the hardest hit hunger was Egypt and Canaan. But according to the Ramban, it took 5 years to empty out this money. According to Rashi and other Mefarshim, in 1 year of the hunger, can you imagine, there were 7 years of hunger. In the first year of hunger, Yosef emptied out all the money. So it's interesting, the Mefarshim say, now, obviously there's poor people and there's rich people. How could the poor people finish the money when the rich people did? The rich people had more money to spend, so their money should have lasted longer. So some Mefarshim learn, when the pasuk says all the money finished, it means even the rich man's money finished. The poor man's money finished even earlier. And other Mefarshim learn an ingenious concept, that Yosef was so smart and so equal, he was so fair, he charged the rich more for the food than the poor. Mm-hmm. And therefore the rich and the poor finished their money at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
A Yiddish cup. Here, he said, according to the Medrash, Yosef had Nevuah. He knew how much money each applicant had, and he charged the rich high prices and the poor low prices. So the rich and the poor ended up equal. What? Huh? Now, what did Yosef do with all this money? In Yiddish, there's an expression, Reich wie Keirach, rich like Keirach. Keirach was the richest man that ever lived. Richer than Microsoft, he was the richest man that ever lived. Where did he get this money? It says, all this money that Yosef gathered from all of Canaan and all of Egypt, Pari hid. And Keirach found the hiding place. And that's why he became so rich. He had all the money, basically, from the entire civilized world at that time. Now, why did this have to happen? Yeah, there was a hunger, they had to pay for it. Okay, fine. Why did this have to happen? Because when the Jews left Egypt, and the Jews had to go out with a lot of money, the purpose of it was to elevate all the sparks of Kedusha that were in the world. So Hashem made life easier. And as the Rebbe explains in a Maimer, that the fact that Yosef came to Egypt earlier than the brothers made the Golus in Egypt much easier. Because he already prepared the way. Right? What was the purpose of the Golus? That they should walk out of Egypt with all the sparks of Kedusha. So Yosef did the whole job already for them. He gathered all the sparks into one place. He gathered them all to him. And then when the Jews left Egypt, they took all the money with them. So they elevated the entire world very easily. Didn't have to work so hard on it. So this is actually what Hashem's master plan was, that all the money of the civilized world should come to Yosef. All the money too. You can start digging, maybe you'll find it somewhere.
So that was not the money that was the Jews took out. That was besides that money.
Besides that.
But this money was freed from the... sparks was freed?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess he elevated it too, I guess.
His sons were
tzaddikim. They did tshuva. The last second. So now, what? Korach sends the tshuva.
Yeah, but one of them, for the last Makkah, the Jews had emptied out again.
Right.
There was
more build-up, and then there was more build-up at Kriyas Yamsuf, and there was a constant build-up. But that explains, by the way, there's a halach in Torah, a Jew is not allowed to live in Egypt. And one of the reasons, in Chassidus it explains, because the purpose of a Jew being in a certain place is to elevate the sparks of Kedusha. The Jews already emptied out Egypt. There's nothing to go back for. Therefore, it says in Halacha that if for business you are allowed to go back to Egypt, because if new money comes in, there's new sparks. And that has to be elevated. So that's why the Rambam lived there, and, you know, the great people lived in the land of Mitzrayim. Huh? Because still, but he was forced to basically live there based on the government.